Welcome to Foster Carolinas, connecting the Carolinas to voices of foster care.
L-O-T, the place I want to be. Come and sit down, have a foster chat with me. Podcast bridging the gap with Mr. Peace.
Hi, Emily. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm so happy to have you on the podcast today.
I'm very happy to be here with you.
always good to talk to you.
I know.
We can talk for hours. I don't know how long this one will be.
If only we had coffee. I don't know.
That's true. I should have got me some before we started. Well, I am going to hop right in, and I want you to kind of introduce yourself and tell everyone who you are, what you do, and what kind of qualifies you to be on the podcast today. Because you are qualified.
I'm super qualified. But my name's Emily, and I jokingly say I'm least of these Carolinas' number one fan. I have been my husband Brandon and I got involved with foster care about 10 years ago now, which is crazy to think. And I always say that I was the person who said I never want to do foster care, but the Lord saw differently, and he brought us our oldest son, who we adopted through the foster care system, and that was the door that got us into foster care. Mm-hmm. And just seeing all the many needs that surrounded foster care through that perspective. So when we couldn't foster anymore, I was just looking for another way to get involved. Mm-hmm. And figure out, because that's, I think, kind of the point of what you're trying to communicate through this podcast, is there is a way for everyone to get involved. Yeah. There's a point of entry for everyone to get involved with foster care. And so at that time, I had two little ones, and we did a one-night event at our church to just share the needs of foster care. And that's how I met Lisa these Carolinas. Mm-hmm. And so then Selena and Susanna reached out to me and said, hey, we really would love to expand Bags of Hope to Rutherford County. Mm-hmm. And so they said, could you help us? And I kind of joke and say, we started the Bags of Hope Pony Express and tried to get the bags from Gastonia to Rutherford, which is now, you all have done such a flawless job of getting, I mean, that happens every day now. And so then from there, Selena was like, now think about She's a Hope. Now think about the Christmas event.
Yep.
So then that's all. So then I just did that for a while. And through that and through fostering, the Lord just kept putting it on our hearts, Brandon and I, to start a nonprofit local to Rutherford County. Mm-hmm. Because although there's some wonderful organizations serving Rutherford County, we really wanted something that people could go to. Yep. and be at. Mm-hmm. And our heart is really for that first 24 to 48 hours, that mm-hmm. immediate, right when kids are entering yep. in care. And so that is where we are now. Yep. Is we just started a nonprofit called Mosaic Hope, and we are working to meet the immediate needs of those entering foster care. Yeah. So, yeah, I guess I've seen foster care from a lot of different angles at this point now. Yeah. So
I think that really the target audience would be somebody like you that can't look away. Once you see it, you knew that you couldn't look away, that this wasn't going away, and that there was absolutely somewhere that you could plug in. And you have with the help of a lot of people and the Lord, made a whole organization dedicated to these kids and helping. So maybe that our listeners aren't going to start a nonprofit, but knowing that there is absolutely places to continue to serve, even if it's not having a child in your home, even if it's not, being a social worker, whatever it might be, there are absolutely places that need continual care in this realm. So I'm going to ask you a question. We have five questions that we are asking all of our podcasts. members this week, I mean, this series. So the first question is, what is, oh, well, we already said this. What is your position in serving children in foster care, and how long have you been there? Now, did you touch on how long that's been? How long collectively has that been?
It's been 10 years.
Okay, wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, 10 years since our oldest son came to us. So, mm-hmm. Yep, 10. That's
crazy.
Well, I guess this spring, yeah, it's coming up on 11, actually.
Okay, so wow. It's just
crazy.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll move to the second one. Why did you first start serving this population? What made you see the need? And, like, you said that you didn't really start out to foster, but you did. So what made you start that process?
So my husband, Brandon, and I, we were struggling with infertility. And if anyone listening is in that journey, it's hard. I really honestly think it's probably the hardest season that I've ever gone through up until this point in my life. And, you know, when you're struggling to get pregnant, we lost 4 pregnancies. And so during that time, you know, lots of people would say, oh, have you guys thought about fostering? Have you thought about adopting? And in that season, I didn't want to hear that.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be the suggestion. But, you know, people kept talking about it or asking us about it. And I knew it was there. Like, I knew it existed. I've grown up in church ministry my whole life. Mm-hmm. My dad's a pastor. My husband's a pastor. I mean, I know foster care's there. I didn't really know about foster care. And my teacher's assistant, she fostered 20 plus kids. She was incredible. She adopted 2 of her children through foster care. Mm-hmm. And so she specifically would kind of talk to me, give me little plant little seeds there. And I taught both of her children. And basically what happened, there's way, way more to the story, but the shorter version is that we got a phone. My teacher's assistant said she knew, her Sunday school teacher knew of a family that had a baby. She mm-hmm. thought it was a baby that they were wanting to put up for adoption. Mm-hmm. And so even though that was like kind of crazy, I was like, okay, I'll call and just see what this is about. And so we were talking and he starts telling me about this child and I start realizing he's not talking about a baby. The way he was talking about the child, I started wondering how old. I was like, is this the lady that's pregnant? Is this a baby or how old is this child? And he said, oh, he's 4. And when he said that, I was like, why is someone giving their 4-year-old up for adoption? Yeah. And he said, well, he's in foster care. Mm. And I'll just be honest. Immediately my head was like, nope.
Yep.
He's been in foster care. He's 4. He's going to have all these things, you know, the sad part of this is I kind of created this, you know, disaster of a story in my head.
Yeah.
And then I kind of tell people, I said the Christian thing that you say when you're wanting to say no, but you feel bad to say no. Mm-hmm. So you say, well, I'll be praying about that.
Yep.
And so I said, well, do you, and then I took it a step further. So mm-hmm. I feel like that, like, would get me a little extra points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I said, well, do you happen to know his name? Mm-hmm. And I'll specifically pray for him by name. Yeah. And the guy said, well, I think his name is John Lucas. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, I remember exactly where I was standing in my mm-hmm. kitchen. I just sat on the floor and I said, what did you say his name was? And he said, well, I think his name's John Lucas. And anyway, when we had lost those 4 pregnancies, the boy's name that my husband and I had agreed on was John Lucas. So in that moment, so when people ask me, how did you get into foster care? I'm like, the Lord literally shoved me.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was literally a moment where I thought, there's no other explanation.
Yeah.
And so there's just so much more craziness to that story mm-hmm. of just how the Lord orchestrated it.
Yeah.
But that got me into the doors of DSS.
Yeah.
And one thing led to another. We did end up adopting him. Mm-hmm. But through that process, and even when we adopted him, though, when I went to the classes, I said, we'll take these classes and we're going to adopt this child. Yep. Then we're done. We are not fostered.
Yeah.
We're not doing this, because I was just, I had all the fears that people have.
Yeah.
I was afraid of loving a kid and them going back home. I was afraid of what trauma would bring with it. I was afraid. I mean, it was a lot of fear. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of, you know, but then once you're on the list, you know, once you take the classes, you're on this little list. Mm-hmm. And so they started, they would call when a kid was in need of placement.
Yep.
And I'd say, no. I was very adamant. We were still saying no. And then finally, after about the 12th phone call, within a short amount of time, I finally asked, well, what do you do? What do you do when you can't? I know I'm saying no. What do you do when everyone says no? And she said, well, they spend the night here at DSS. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh,
yeah,
no, we can't be having that. Mm-mm. And that's just slowly the Lord chiseled away. And he also just slowly gave me peace about all of those fears.
Yeah.
And so a year after our son came to us, we finally said yes to, I don't even know, it was probably like the 40th phone call at this point. And then the rest is history, really, because through that we learned about the needs of birth parents and just so much more. And that's, and I'm still here. Mm-hmm. And
so,
but like,
the big thing I'm hearing is that it is all scary because it's all unknown. You hadn't had any experience. There is nothing in your life before getting that phone call about a 4-year-old that you thought was a baby that would have prepared you to enter this world. You had just heard things. You had seen depictions, maybe on TV, whatever it might be, where it's all so unknown to you, so therefore it's scary. And then you step into it little by little. Honestly, I think welcoming a kid into your home is not very little, but you do that, you know? And then it just, it kind of progresses from there. And you're like, okay, so the more I get acquainted with it and the more I understand it, it is not as scary. So, and that's another thing. Yeah. I just want to kind of ease the fears of the unknown, because it is unknown, but that doesn't mean it's as scary as it seems because you don't understand it. Once you understand it a little bit better, fears kind of die down.
Well, and I would add to that, for me, as I learned more, because like I said before, I just knew foster care was there.
Yeah.
I knew it was there. But then when I started really recognizing all that surrounded it, and when I started learning more about trauma and the impact, and like why children who have been impacted by trauma, why they might have behaviors. Mm-hmm. And when I started like learning deeper beyond behavior, when I started really understanding the needs and the depth of the needs, my fears became smaller because it felt like the need really outweighed my fear. You know, and I think too, Mark Batterson in his book, Circle Maker, he talks about like when, you know, how big is the God that I believe in? You know, how big is he? And if he, is he big enough to handle those fears?
Yeah.
Do I really believe that? And like the way that we step out in faith really reflects what we believe about God.
That's good.
And so, you know, and so at some point I had to say, okay, this child could go home. This could break my heart. But this child getting to be with me for a little amount of time, to have a healthy attachment, to be loved, to be rocked, to be able to hit some developmental milestones along the way, to be able to make that connection with the birth family, that all outweighs my fear of being sad.
That's so true, that when you put the need up against the fear, it absolutely overshadows it. And it's like, the need is too great for me to say no because of fear. And I will always go back to, we interviewed Kathleen from, she is from Fearless Fostering on Instagram. And she said something that I will probably forever say. She was like, keep saying yes until it makes sense for you to say no. So go get licensed. You don't have to say yes the next time for an actual placement. But if you just go say yes, there's no reason for me not to get licensed. And I can say no to every call, every email that I get for a placement. But until it makes sense for me to say no, I'm going to keep saying yes. And that I just thought that was very, very practical advice to give.
And I really think, to be honest, like, I really feel like every teacher and pastor should have to go through the course that licenses you to be a foster parent, because it really teaches you so much about the impact of trauma.
Yeah.
And I think that to me is the part I was sad that I didn't know that before. Because I used to teach school. I taught fourth grade for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And I've been to all the trauma trainings. You know, I've been to the thing, you know, they have all these in-service things you go to for about trauma and ACEs and all the things. But when you live with it, when you invite that into your life and you do that 24/7 and you get to know these families and you get to know these children on a deeper level, it becomes real. It becomes more than just time in a classroom or more than just, you know, a little moment on a Sunday morning. It becomes, you realize how it impacts so many facets of life, and then how it also impacts generationally, you know?
Yeah.
And it changes. It just changes how you see and love people when you really start to try to look at it from a new angle.
Yeah.
You know,
an angle that they're not going to present to you. And this is what I've been through. This is what I've experienced, but this is exactly why I act this way. It's why I do some of the things that I do. It's not something that they can advertise. Nobody can advertise that. Okay. If you have anything else to add to this, because I feel like we've kind of also covered this one in our conversation, what made you want to continue to serve this population? Do you have anything new to add to that question?
Yeah, just you can't, once you know, to walk away just seems impossible. Yeah. Like once you know, you have to, for me, I just knew I still had to just keep finding new ways to be involved.
Yeah. Okay, then we will move on to question four, which is, can you tell us your favorite story you've experienced from holding your position, whether that be foster mom, now nonprofit leader, one of both, either one?
Well, I feel like I'm living my favorite moment right now.
That's nice. That's great.
So we are starting a nonprofit here in Rutherford County, and I do feel like it parallels a lot with people maybe who are considering fostering, and just that there was a lot of fear of what if we try to start this thing and it flops. I don't really feel super, like I said, I don't feel super qualified to be doing this. And we really explored lots of other ways of trying to get this started. And it just felt like the Lord kept pointing back to starting Mosaic Hope here in the county. And the name Mosaic Hope, the meaning behind it is we want to bring the pieces together to bring hope to families in our county. And what I'm learning and what I see is that I feel like pretty much anyone listening to this podcast right now, if I'm like, hey, did you know that there are children waiting for forever families? Did you know that there are kids sleeping at DSS? Did you know that we don't have enough foster families? And so almost half of the kids in Rutherford County are having to go outside of the county and to find a placement. Most people are like, what? You know, most people, number one, they don't realize it, or they just haven't really thought about it. And then when I say, hey, do you want to help? Most people want to help. They just need a tangible way to, how can I help? Yeah. And, you know, we started this and just seeing how the Lord, all the things where I thought, I don't know how this will work out. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just like, I see this so much in my, not just with foster care, but just in my spiritual journey and just in life in general. I think there's points in your life where you're like, I just can't see how this is going to work out. And I don't know if you're, I think you're a little bit like this, like I am. Like we're kind of like a planner, and it would really be great for God to like roll out the 5-year plan, 10-year plan, 20-year plan. And I think so much about following the Lord and being obedient to Him is just saying, yes, okay, Lord. And then stepping out of faith to just do the next thing. Exactly what the lady you quoted, you know, just say yes until it makes sense to say no. And so just saying, yes, Lord, I'll do this next thing, and you do this next step. And even when it doesn't always make sense, and when you can't figure out how's this going to work out, and just getting to see the Lord step in and be like, oh, like this. And it's not how you expected. It's not the way you
thought. It's always 10 times better.
And so we have been, you know, Susanna and I have talked. I know you guys, at least the East Carolinas, has the hummingbird houses, and we've had a similar dream in regards to a house, and I've thought, I don't know how this will work out. I don't know how this will work out. And the Lord, just in the most unexpected way, 2 weeks ago, I got a phone call from the real estate agent who represents the owner of the house. And she said, hey, we heard that you're interested in this house, and we've actually had cash offers on this house twice, and they have fallen through. And she said, the owner and I just believe that maybe it's because the Lord wants y'all to have this house. And so she said, how we wanted to call you and see if you would be interested in doing a contingency plan where y'all could just put a little, you know, like $2,000 down as a due diligence amount, which is not. And they would hold the house till December for us to raise money. And we said, we were like, okay. And we stepped into that. And then even then I thought, how will we do this? But to see the community, to see people go into their businesses and seeing people who are stepping in to help raise money, or someone who has like a business where they sell books and they're going to do books for the house, and people, just like everybody using their gift to serve, to me has just been one of, by far, one of my most favorite moments. I mean, like, obviously finding out about our son would probably take the cake. Probably shared that one. So this would be the next, this probably would be in a similar way. I feel like God just, when I thought, how will this work out? And then God just being like, and here it is. And it's not without work. I don't want to make it sound like not without work, not without a journey, but the beauty of it has just been to see people figure out, what is, where am I gifted? Where, or what do I have? What do I have to offer? What's my thing that I can use to help in some way? And that's just what's been beautiful to me, because I feel, I mean, it's what the Bible tells us to do, right? And so rather, it's, you know, whoever's listening to this, you know, if you teach piano lessons, what would it look like to offer free piano lessons to someone that's in foster care who would really love to take piano lessons? Or you like to babysit, like, what would it look like to find a foster family and say, hey, once a month, I'm going to babysit for you. Or if you love to cook, God bless you, first of all. But if you love to cook, being like, you know, saying, I will make a frozen casserole that you can freeze. And I, once a month, I'm going to take it to a foster family. I mean, I could sit here and ramble off ideas.
I was about to say, it really is that tangible. It absolutely is that tangible and that attainable to make such an impact. Just to have, and I heard this number recently, and you might have told it to me, where there are 11,000 churches in North Carolina, and they're, what, right at 10,000 kids in care? And if one church offered up one family, and they got licensed, but then they came back to church, and that whole entire church came around that family to make it sustainable, so they're not there by themselves, however you're gifted. And piano lessons really stuck out to me. I didn't even really think about like teaching an instrument, but a lot of times opportunities and the ability to dream and think of what can I do? What do I enjoy has been robbed from them because they're thinking about much more basic needs than what do I enjoy to do with my time? What am I good at? That's huge. That I mean, you could be helping the next, what is it, Mozart? Like it's insane. Like the amount of people that have things to offer, they just, like you said, don't know how. And that's one of my favorite things about Mosaic Hope is the name and the meaning behind it of you are bringing all of the pieces together to impact these kids in a positive way. Yeah. Is because there are people that can help. There are people who don't even realize they can help. And you're like, that's the perfect. We've been looking for somebody that knows how to knit baby blankets because we're running low, you know, whatever it might be, all kinds of talents.
Just to say, even, you know, there's a lady I know in our county, she gives, she does swimming lessons. Mm-hmm. And I know that she intentionally looks for families who are fostering. Mm-hmm. and she'll do swimming lessons for them. And so I just, yeah, there's just a million. And, you know, if you're a teacher, mm-hmm. if you're a coach, I mean, I've heard stories of several stories of former foster youth who talk about the impact that a coach made on them and just making sure they had the stuff they need to play the sport and all the things. So, yeah, just think about what is it that you're gifted at? What do you enjoy? Where has God placed you? Yes. And then how can you use that to impact a child in foster care, a foster family, or just a family, a vulnerable family, like a family that's in need? Mm-hmm. How can you serve in that way?
Because it's all intentional. We serve a very, very, very intentional God, a very intricate God that has created us for specific purposes. And as you read the Bible, it's absolutely, your purpose is a lot to love God and love others. And there is such tangible ways that you can do that. And I appreciate that you bring that up and you bring people into that so well. And I appreciate you being on the podcast today.
Yeah, well, I am enjoying talking to you. I always have a good time talking to you guys.
Absolutely. Thanks, Emily.
No problem. Thank you. Podcast Bridging the Campus East to
East. Thanks for joining us today for Foster Carolinas. Were you inspired by something you heard today? Well, we want to encourage you to make the next step, whatever that is. Everyone can do something for children in foster care. If you're not sure where to start, go to our website at www.lotcarolinas.com and see what you can do.